Rachel.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is
Uncut Geminis.
We are so freaking excited for this episode. It is going to be a huge, iconic, groundbreaking, life-changing episode. This is our top 10 Geminis episode, where we break down the top 10 most iconic Geminis of all time.
Of all time. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, how are you feeling?
I am truly thrilled. We have been planning this since the conception of this podcast.
Since the sex happened, we have been planning this. Okay. We are so ready. There's so much to say. And I think let's talk a little bit about what this episode will be.
Right. So we have picked our top 10 Geminis, and we're going to tell you about what does it mean to be iconic.
Celebrity status. There are big names on this list. Huge, huge names coming at you. Big stuff. Big stuff.
When I think about what it means to be iconic, I think you would buy a poster of this person.
You would buy a poster of this
person. Several of these people, I have bought posters of them.
Yeah.
I think that this is, you know, iconography. You recognize symbols of them, whether or not it's a photo, whether it's a face, whether it's a cartoon. You know
whether it's
who
a literal
are.
Symbol. A literal symbol. I got something to bring up about a literal symbol for somebody, so I'm excited.
Absolutely.
For that.
Foreshadowing.
You would get a tattoo of this person. People have tattoos of these people's faces. These people can sell magazines off of a magazine stand.
Absolutely. I think another really key thing here is that we're talking about innovators. These people have changed the world. In some form or another, these people have changed the landscape of which we interact with culture. And that's huge.
Especially with Geminis. And let's talk about that, because I think Geminis are a very changeable sign. There are a lot of people who have been the first of something, a lot of people who have been groundbreaking people, trailblazing people, and we are very excited to talk about that. So we're going to talk, what are these like traits that these Geminis that we're about to talk about hold?
Absolutely. So Gemini is a mutable sign, and the mutable signs are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And they are the signs that initiate a change in seasons. So Gemini, you're bringing spring into summer. And all of these signs are changeable. They are adaptable. They are signs that are very comfortable with transformation. And so with Gemini as the sign of expression and communication, I think that these people, like what makes these people iconic is that they have in many ways changed expression. So that's a lot of creativity. It's using your words.
There's a lot of creativity. There's a lot of words on this list. There is a lot of transformation.
Absolutely. And so I think the other thing that we're talking about here is in order to be an iconic Gemini, you have to embody the Gemini essence. Rachel, do you want to get into that?
Something that I really like about these people, about them having a Gemini essence, is something that we've already touched on, but they've all had really transformational lives. A lot of them have gone through different artistic journeys where they become a different person every couple years or something like that. And I love that as a Gemini. I think that's such a key factor of Geminis. And I think it can sometimes be seen as a negative thing. And I think there are people on this list who have some outlandish qualities. Wouldn't you say? Outlandish qualities. I don't know if I would want to be all of these people's best friend, but I certainly want to talk about them.
I think that a huge trait for Gemini is speaking your mind. It is that expression. And another huge trait for Gemini is comedy. It's humor. It's this optimism. It's this lightness. It's this love of gossip and being very much finger on the pulse of culture.
Dare I say ahead of culture. Ahead of culture.
Absolutely.
These people are seeing stuff 10 years out. 20 years out, light years out, they are seeing the future and they are setting our future. I hope we're not being too, me as a Gemini, I'm nervous that I'm being too positive about them because I definitely think there's some crazy shit that these people have done that we're about to say. So I don't know. Just so putting that out there, these are our top 10. These are our top 10 that Courtney and I have worked on together. We are excited to talk about them. We are excited to get into the nitty gritty, dirty shit.
We're talking about people who are I think in many ways cancelable. They've done some shitty things in their lives.
She said it. She said it. She said the word. She said the word. She said the word cancelable.
But there are so many more positives than negatives that these people have brought to the world. They have changed the world. And when they die, there will be murals. There will be posters. There will be absolutely singing their praises. And we will not remember the moments that they were criticized for even a little bit, because people love them in such a deep and chaotic way that is just so passionate, and that's what makes them icons.
I would like to put in a little, lay the ground for a little bit of a spoiler, because you said when they die, some of our people may not be alive today. I don't know. I'm so excited to find out.
Hey, this is an ad break. Are you a sponsor? Want to promote your thing here? We want to work with good people. So email us at uncutgeminispodcast@gmail.com. Or DM us on Instagram at uncutgeminispod.
Let's get into it.
This is our top 10 Geminis.
All right, number 10, Laverne Cox.
Laverne Cox, starting off huge, huge. Laverne Cox was born on May 29th, 1972, one day after my birthday.
Laverne Cox, I think, is the definition of a trailblazer. So many firsts. I mean, look, let me just list some of these things. First transgender person to be nominated for an Emmy Award. First transgender person to be a series regular on a TV show. To be on the cover of Time magazine. To appear on Cosmo. To have a wax figure of herself at Madame Tussauds. She is just absolutely iconic. And like, these things are going to go down in history.
History. Laverne Cox is an actress who has literally changed television, changed the way that award shows work, changed the way that television works, changed the way, most importantly, that people can see themselves. From day freaking one, she has always been about being who you are and being true to yourself, because that is what you have to be. Speak your mind, stand up, because if you're not doing that, you're not living properly. She's saying, live your truth properly. She is truly a groundbreaking Gemini, because she has groundbroken so many freaking things.
Another crucial Laverne Cox Gemini trait, she's a fucking twin. She is literally a twin.
Laverne Cox is a twin.
Her twin is named M. Lamar. That is his name that he goes by. And he's an artist. He actually played her on Orange is the New Black as her pre-transition. Her character on Orange is the New Black, Sophia, incredible. Like, easily one of the best characters in the series.
Yeah, truly. Truly. I think that it's funny because you think about Laverne Cox and it's like she just, in my mind, became a part of our culture. Like, one day she wasn't there and the next day she was there and never leaving. In a good way. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the second Orange is the New Black came out, that was such a groundbreaking show for so many reasons. And then to have this actress on it who's representing such a huge community and such a huge representation just for everybody about speaking your mind and being yourself and putting yourself out there. Then I was like, oh yeah, Laverne Cox. Laverne Cox is here forever. That makes sense. It was just like, she was everywhere and she should be everywhere. And I'm like proud of her.
I think that Gemini is also such a sign of self-expression that I think it's huge that so much of her fame and her impact is entirely from her identity and who she is and just expressing exactly who she is to the world is what has made her impact so important.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people on this list who are famous for being themselves in a really cool, good way. Like, it's, I think sometimes we have taken that in today's world and it's been like, oh, what do they do? They're just on Instagram or something like that. And it's like having somebody play an actress and telling a story that is similar to theirs, but getting to represent people in such a beautiful way. I just think it's so important. And it's conversations that we've been having for a very long time. And it's conversations, honestly, that are very tough to have. And a lot of people don't want to have them. And she goes, this is my point of existence. This is my point of being here. I'm going to have these conversations. I'm going to stand up for it because this shit needs to change. There needs to be transgender people on television. There needs to be people representing communities that we don't always get to see that are represented.
And our last thing to say about her is the astrology of it all. She is a Leo rising with that beautiful hair and a Sagittarius moon. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, yeah. Wait, we didn't say that she's gorgeous.
Yeah. Which actually, if you care about the midheaven, that's something that I want to talk about on this podcast. The midheaven is your 10th house of career. And that is dictated by your rising sign, because your rising sign sets up your house system for your birth chart. And so her midheaven, because she's a Leo rising, is Taurus. Taurus is a sign that is ruled by Venus. It's very much about beauty. And I think it's amazing that so much of her career has revolved around her beauty and her presentation. And
that Wait, I'm so shocked by this. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's so fascinating.
It is very fascinating. I think it's so cool. And I love the way we can see, we're going to look at this. So many of these people totally embody their birth charts. And wow. It's fascinating.
Yeah, because it's a choice. It's a choice to show up as beautiful. Like, it's a choice. Like, I was watching a bunch of videos of her before this, and like, she does a lot of like no makeup and then makeup gorgeous completely every single way. But to present yourself and to really care about it and to work hard at these gorgeous gowns you're putting on when you're doing the Emmys and all that. I don't know. I just really feel that I get who she is through her style and through her essence. So I love learning that about her.
Absolutely. And our next person on our list, person people, are also
twins
and also Taurus midheavens, which I will get into. Rachel, you want to announce our ninth?
The Olsen twins, Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, born June 13th, 1986. Fashionistas, child stars. Holiday in the Sun was my favorite movie when I was 12 years old. I watched it all the time. We cannot get over them.
They are our most famous twins. They are the most famous twins that I think have ever walked the earth, because they, from literally birth. I think they joined Full House at like age 3.
No. Like babies. I'm pretty sure they were babies.
They're infants.
And literally infants.
And I think there's something that is so Gemini about that forever young quality, the way we will always remember them for their childhood, you know, because Gemini is so youthful, so excitable, like so much about that childlike, like sprite energy that I think that they're so known for. And yet, the transformation of it all, they have entirely split off from that in this like this renaissance of who they became in their adult lives.
Yet are still famous. And as I say again, similar to Laverne Cox, famous for being themselves, which is absolutely iconic, incredible. It is just like, I don't know. I know we've already talked about them a little bit on this podcast, but I have the feeling that I could walk up to them and they would not give a fuck about me. And I would be so happy just to see them walk by, just to see them take one single drag of a cigarette would mean everything to me.
And I would like to say that the part of the body ruled by Gemini is the hands. And so I think it's funny that they are so known for just smoking. They look amazing smoking. We eat up these photos of them smoking cigarettes. And I think that's so funny.
It's literally amazing. Okay, wait. Do we have to even have to describe who they are? I mean, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, who are child actresses, who went on to have a literal fan club of tons of preteens until about the early 2000s, where people would like pay to receive Mary-Kate and Ashley collectibles and photos, and they were in every single movie. They were just, you couldn't get away from them. You couldn't look away from Full House. You wanted to know which one it was at all the time. Is it Ashley? Is it Mary-Kate? Who is it?
And so what I would like to say about this, their second life, basically as adults, as fashion designers, is totally linked, I think, to the astrology of it all. They are Leo risings, Virgo moons, and because they have that Leo rising, they also have Taurus on the midheaven, that career house that Laverne Cox also has.
Wait, doesn't Laverne Cox also have a Leo rising?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so similar.
So they both have a Leo rising and a Taurus midheaven. And I think that is a huge reason as to why their career turned into fashion and beauty. I think that's huge.
Yeah, very, very similar to number 10, Laverne Cox. I guess I'm curious, you know, how much they were trying to make a statement and how much they were just being themselves is kind of the question I have for all of these Geminis coming up. But like, the New York Times used to declare Mary-Kate a fashion icon for having a bohemian look, for wearing these baggy clothes, for just walking around and kind of looking messy in a way. And she was a fashion icon for that reason. I'm like, is she playing this? Is she trying to do this on purpose? Or is she just walking down the street to get coffee?
I think she's totally being herself, because I think she became the wild child in their teen years. And then Ashley, as a result, became the good girl, which I also have talked about on this podcast before, because I care about them, because the world cares about them, even though they have not acted in forever. We still care about them.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating what they've gone through with the paparazzi. Like, they're definitely some of those early 2000s, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, you know, people who, Britney Spears, oh my God, who went through a lot of intense paparazzi shit. Like, Elizabeth Olsen being so famous now as their sister seems a lot nicer than them. And she's like, yeah, it's because you guys have been harassing my sister since they were literally born and they did not ask for this. I don't know.
Yeah.
What would you ask them? If you could ask them a question, what would you ask them?
I think I would ask specifically Mary-Kate about her marriage to a Sarkozy. She married, I think, the brother of a French prime minister. And I think that's fascinating. And at their wedding, people reported bowls and bowls of cigarettes, like they were centerpieces at these wedding tables. And I think that's amazing. I think it's like, it also because, okay, Gemini and Sagittarius are the two signs of travel, which is just incredible. Like, I think they've totally embodied their birth charts. It's amazing.
That's fascinating. I think that's iconic. I'm obsessed. This is a good time to mention I'm currently recording this in Paris. And if I don't run into Mary-Kate, I'm upset.
Yeah.
I expect her to be outside of my hotel when I walk out later tonight.
I would love running into her in Paris. God, can you imagine? That's so chic. That is so chic.
Chic is such a word for them. They are very, very chic people. They are just, I mean, I'm so curious what their next move is. Like, do you, what, because of this, these changeable lives that they have. They've been stars. They've been actresses. They've been fashion designers. I'm so curious what's going to happen next.
What was your favorite Olsen twins movie?
Oh, Holiday in the Sun.
Same.
With Megan Fox, right? Megan Fox is in that movie. I used to watch
She's the villain.
Movie. She's the villain. I used to watch Holiday in the Sun. What is it about? It's about them going on vacation. They get taken out of school. And their parents come to their school when they're like 12, which is your freaking dream. And they go, hey, we got to get on this private jet and go to a vacation in, I guess, Australia. I don't know where it was, but you
Australia.
See this whole scene. And I used to dream about this constantly. I was like, maybe my parents don't love me because they're not coming to take me out of school and put me on a private jet and then go meet cute boys in Australia. Like, that was the movie. And that movie meant everything to me.
It's so good.
What about you? Which was your favorite?
I love Holiday in the Sun, or Holiday in the Sun. And I also love, I mean, not to bring it up again, I love the one where they go to Paris. They're younger in that one. And that's also a really good one. They, like, solve some foreign relations thing in it. It's so funny. They, like, talk to the ambassador and they just, like, have fun with him, you know? Like, that's, they just, like, have fun with some ambassador and just fix foreign relations. And that's, I don't know, it's like, light and fun. It's when they're younger. They're, like, 12 or 14 or something.
And they have the coolest haircuts with these, like, highlights and the flipped out at the end hair.
Oh, Mary-Kate's hair in New York Minute, which is
yes!
maybe one of the worst ones. It's horrible, but but Mary-Kate's hair is so good.
I want to know if anybody's watched New York Minute recently. Let us know. Well, I think we started with three huge iconic people that are very similar in birth chart. I can't wait to see who's next. Number 8.
Andy Cohen, born June 2nd, 1968. He is a Leo moon, unknown rising, and he has a Gemini stellium, which is when you have three or more placements in one sign or in one planet. So he has his sun, Venus, Mars, and Lilith in Gemini. He's a super Gemini. So
super
I think
Gemini.
He's an amazing pick for this.
So Andy Cohen started out in American radio and now is a television talk show host, producer, writer. If you don't know who Andy Cohen is, have you never turned on to the channel Bravo late night? Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, who, again, iconic for being himself, He is not only the face of Bravo, the face of Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. He is a producer, let me tell you. He has literally created the Housewives. We would not have Housewives if it was not for Andy Cohen.
I think that is so Gemini, too, because the Housewives are drama. And they do the same thing, like, every week. They just start shit between each other. And then they talk about it. They just change their alliances. It's all about friendship also. And I think that Gemini is a huge sign for friendship and community and, like, socializing. Gemini's the social butterfly of the Zodiac. And I think it's huge that he started this
franchise, truly a franchise.
He started this franchise that is like totally, I don't know, it fuels so much gossip and conversation.
He started a career on drama and gossip. He literally created a career for others, which is the kindest thing one can do is give a bunch of people a freaking career over their beauty again, gossip, drama, over people being themselves.
And partying and being funny.
I mean, fun.
And like getting shit faced together and just like having a good time. All of that is so Gemini to me.
Do you know how many Real Housewives have songs? Like they are singers and have produced music themselves as Real Housewives. There is a ton. And I'm not a Real Housewives expert. I honestly am not a person who watches all the time. I would love people to inform me on this. But there's a lot of Real Housewives. Like, he, again, just given people careers by saying, you are really special. Let's learn about you. And that is the person, that is him. That is Andy Cohen. Courtney, you are the biggest Andy Cohen fan.
I love Andy Cohen. And I don't watch Housewives, which is how you know that he's, like, really such a personality. It's so standout. Like,
yeah.
Okay, one of my favorite things that he has done recently is he hosted New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper, also a famous Gemini journalist, another amazing Gemini career. And he went on these totally drunken, unfiltered rants. And he roasted...
He never apologized for that.
No, he never apologized. He roasted Mark Zuckerberg. He called Mayor de Blasio the crappiest mayor in history. He called out Anderson Cooper for... He was like, you like eating food in the bedroom. And then in the morning, what he said was... Listen, I will not be shamed for having fun on New Year's Eve. That's why I'm here. That's why they bring me there. And you know what? He was fucking right.
And you know what? That gets you number 8 on most iconic Geminis. Having a drunken rant that is funny as fuck. And then the next day you say, listen, I said what I said. I hope you guys had a good time. I had a good time. No shame. I wish I could text every person I knew that the next day after a party. My favorite party quote is like Tom from Succession talking to Logan. And he goes, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff, but just disregard it. And I'm like, that's me at any party. Any party. Anything I say, do not bring it up to me ever again.
Wait, I made Succession memes and I used that as the Gemini quote. I feel valid right now.
That's literally how I feel. And Andy Cohen is, because he's a super Gemini, is beyond that. He's like, yeah, I don't care.
He doesn't care.
He does not care.
I love it.
He also used to come into the restaurant that I used to work at in New York City all the time. And he was very lovely and very nice. And Sarah Jessica Parker would come into this restaurant too. They were truly friends. And I really admired it. He was like, yeah, I come here. I live in the West Village. This is my restaurant. What's up? I'm that New York boy. Everybody thinks I am. There's no shame when it comes to Andy Cohen.
I love it. I love him. Okay, now this next one we've got is a personal favorite for me. I had a poster of her in my childhood bedroom. Number 7, we have Josephine Baker, born June 3rd, 1906. Now, this is kind of a historical shout out, so if you don't know who she is, we are going
to
tell you.
That's right. We're nerds. We're Geminis. We're historical. We know how to Google names. We get it. Don't come for us. Don't come for us.
And we already told you we're obsessed with Paris, which is where she really made her name. Josephine Baker was an American-born French dancer, singer, and actress. She is probably most known for dancing around topless with this short banana skirt and this beaded necklace. And that is the image that I think is her most iconic image. And that is the one that I had in my bedroom.
If that's not the most Gemini thing ever to be known for, dancing around in a banana skirt topless, I don't know what is. She beats Andy Cohen. That's why she's higher on the list.
Because, here's the thing though, Gemini quality always contains multitudes. That doesn't even scratch the surface of why she is so fascinating to us as a Gemini. She was also a spy in World War II. Incredible. Incredible.
I want to see that documentary. I know Diana Ross played her at one point, but I want to see that documentary. Like, what do you mean she was a spy? Like, somebody came up to her and was like, hey, you're topless. Why don't you, you'll trick him. You'll trick him. Why don't you help us out and spy for us? Like, what? What's happening right here?
She was, like, also very political. She refused to perform for segregated audiences in the United States.
We also have to say this is a Black woman. This is a Black woman who was born in 1906, who started her career dancing in the 1920s. I mean, I'm sure the timeline's a little whatever, but isn't that crazy? Isn't that insane?
And became world famous.
Became world famous. She's sadly no longer with us anymore. She passed away in 1975. She was the first Black woman to receive one of the highest honors in France, which is fucking crazy. She was just herself. Again, famous for being herself, for being present, for being groundbreaking.
And they actually are doing a Janelle Monáe new A24 show coming up about her, which I would like to say I pitched to a production company when I was a PA and they ignored me, so fuck them.
I would like Courtney to get her dues where it's here. Wait, did you pitch Janelle Monáe or you just pitched the show?
I pitched a show about Josephine Baker because it was right after Imitation Game and they were like, we should do like a historical thing. And I was like, Josephine Baker. I love Josephine Baker. And they were like, okay, 20-year-old.
I hope everybody Googles images of Josephine Baker because now that when you see that Janelle Monáe is going to be playing her, it's going to be absolutely, you're like, is this going to be the most beautiful movie or beautiful show I've ever seen in my life? Probably. Yeah. Am I going to be stunning, horny? Probably. I mean, she's so beautiful. And Janelle Monáe can freaking sing. Wow, this is exciting.
A little bit of the astrology of it all. So the internet tells us she's a Virgo rising, but I never trust that when it's like people this old. So whatever. But she is a Libra moon, which I think checks out with how known she was for her beauty. She also had a Gemini stellium. She had her Sun, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Pluto, and Lilith, all in Gemini, which is Andy Cohen also has a stellium. So she's also one of those supercharged Geminis and did so many interesting things throughout her life. Honestly, read her Wikipedia. We're not even scratching the surface of all the fascinating things she did in her life.
Or you could save it and watch the Janelle Monáe show. I mean, A24 sponsor us. We're literally constantly shouting you out here. I think it's interesting that when you see her name, she was born with the name Frida Josephine McDonald. I'm curious where the Baker came from. Like, I'm curious about this. I don't know. She just seems like she is somebody I would love to be their friend. I know I preference this with saying, I don't know if I want to be their friend. All these people, I don't know. Josephine Baker, I want to be your friend.
And you know what's interesting is I think we actually have a lot of name changes on here, which might just be a famous person thing, but may also be a Gemini transformation thing.
I guess we'll just keep seeing as we go through our top 10 list throughout the year. But I was really excited to include this one. I was really excited that you, Courtney, were like, no, this was on my wall when I was a child. This is very important to me. And it's just surrounding yourself with really good, exciting energy. Wait, something to transition, to transition. Oh my goodness. Josephine Baker had 7 children.
No. 12.
Oh my God. Oh my God. She had 12 children.
Adopted 12 children. Adopted 12 children.
Wow. I got that so wrong. So wrong. I'm just so excited for the next one that I'm about to say. But she adopted 12 children. Are they still alive? I want to know. If you're one of Josephine Baker's children, I'd love to chat with you. I'm in France. Let's get it going. Are you in Paris? I'm free. I'm here for the week. Let's hang out.
Yeah, adopted 12 children, which brings us to another woman who loves adopting children. Rachel, announce our 6th most iconic Gemini. Here we go.
Our 6th on the list of top 10 Geminis. Drumroll, please. A movie star, an icon. You cannot get away from her if you literally tried. She is an Academy 2-time award winner. Is it in your head yet? Is it in your head yet? Angelina Jolie.
You know it's already in their heads. You know when we said she's adopted 7 children, they were like, it's Angelina.
It's Angelina. She is born June 4th, 1975. Oh my God, that's so crazy because that's the year Josephine Baker died. And then we had Angelina Jolie born a few months later.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And then, okay, something I think is important to note in her birth chart really quick is that she is a Cancer rising, and Cancer is the sign of the mother, which I think is fascinating.
I'm a Cancer rising.
Yeah, maybe you'll adopt 7 children.
I hope my boyfriend is not listening to this podcast.
Wait, he's also a Cancer rising.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, are you doomed to adopt 7 children?
Well, we're going to have to get out of our one-bedroom apartment.
You never know.
Never know. I want to know how Josephine Baker did it. She also has an Aries moon, Angelina Jolie.
It's true. Her Aries moon is on the midheaven. So her midheaven, which is, we know, I hope you have learned at this point in our podcast, that that is the house of your career. Aries on the midheaven is this very exciting, loves a challenge midheaven. And because it's her moon, which is kind of her emotional state, I think that's really interesting for her as an actress, because being an actress is all about conveying emotion.
I mean, speaking of, do we even need to explain Angelina Jolie? I mean, Girl Interrupted, let's get clear. She is a person who has had many different career transitions throughout her life, which I think is a theme on this list, which I think is very, very huge. She has been seen as many, many different things. Something I find interesting about her as an actress, as a young actress who's been in so many things, she has kind of been seen as this sex symbol sometimes, but I don't think you ever like immediately think of her that way. But when you look at Angelina Jolie, you're like, that's the hottest person I've ever seen, ever, probably. I think it's because she's such a cool girl. She just doesn't almost care all the time, like how she is. She's like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to marry Billy Bob Thornton and you're going to have to deal with it.
And he's going to grab my tits on the red carpet and you're going to have fucking laugh and think this is awesome. And we're going to drink each other's blood and eat your heart out, Megan Fox. I did it first.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie always did it first. She's such a fascinating person. I think because there's so much I truly don't know about her, because she's just always presenting something different to the world, to the media, and having these so many different pieces of herself.
Yes. And I think that's part of why, you know, when I was growing up, in many ways, she was like known as a sex symbol, but she's always felt like more, you know?
Yes.
She's always felt like, I think, especially in the early 2000s and 90s, she was an absolutely just candy for the tabloids. And because she's so interesting, we can't take our eyes off of her. And she loves news. She loves the drama. Like, and that's,
I mean, she literally, her whole relationship with Brad Pitt, literally stealing Brad Pitt from Jennifer Aniston. I mean,
oh my gosh,
the tabloids are still writing about this to this day. She was the highest paid actress in Hollywood in 2008. She would make $15 million to $20 million per film. Per film. Also having 7 children, also being a huge humanitarian, being very, very big on a lot of fronts for charity. And then I literally wrote, then this bitch became a director. Like, in the most endearing way possible. It's like, bitch, what other card are you going to pull out? What other card are you going to pull out on your little chain tattooed arm that is sexy? I've come full circle. You are a sex symbol, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think she's a UNICEF ambassador. We're going to fact check that.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that in her humanitarian efforts, she is a UNICEF ambassador, which is sick, you know?
Do you think she's happy now?
Yeah, I think she is. I think, like, Geminis love divorce. I think Geminis, like, feels so free in divorce. And she loves just, like, raising her 7 children and being like, fuck you, Brad Pitt. Even though she literally destroyed his life to get him. She blew up his whole life. They were the original, like, Brad and Jen Aniston. They were
the most
iconic celebrity couple. And she was like, what if we fucked in the trailer on the set?
Well, I would love to be divorced. I don't know about you. I just think it sounds so chic.
I know. I've always pictured myself as divorced, but I can't picture myself as getting married.
Yeah. I just want to live how Angelina Jolie is living. Like, you know, maybe now I'm into this person.
You know what is funny is when I was in 7th grade, my dad went to cooking school in Paris. We can't stop talking about Paris on this.
I'm literally here. I'm literally,
you're literally
in Paris.
It's
literally 10:02 p.m. right now. Like, I'm loving it.
But I, like, lived with him that summer in Paris when I was between 7th and 8th grade. And my dream was, like, I want to live here with a 3-year-old toddler divorced. That's my dream, is to be in my, like, you know, whatever, 30s or 40s with divorced with a child in Paris. And I feel like that's the Natalie Portman spirit. That's the Angelina Jolie spirit. It's the, like,
it's the I'm a famous actress who has won Academy Awards spirit.
And I'm free to do whatever the fuck I want after having an amazing, glamorous father of this child.
I so wish that for you. I just really wish that for you.
Thank you. I should take this moment to tell you that Brad Pitt is a Sagittarius, which is, yeah, just throwing that note out there. And Jennifer Aniston is an Aquarius. And Angelina Jolie nuked them with her Gemini energy.
I feel like Geminis always win. Is a theme. I don't know.
Man, with these icons, absolutely it is.
I don't think anybody gets bigger than our next icon. I don't know how I could keep saying that when we're only at number five, but like this name is mind blowing. This name is, I'm not hyping it up. I'm not just saying that to hype it up. It is literally like, you're like, okay, yeah, she's hyping it. And then you hear the name and you're like, oh yeah. So Courtney.
All right, here we go. Number five, Paul McCartney. Change the face of music.
Born June 18th, 1942, same birthday as my mother.
I think it's become very popular for people to shit on Paul McCartney and be like, make jokes like Charlie XCX could do like Blackbird, but Paul McCartney couldn't do Boys. You know, like people say dumb shit like that on Twitter all the time. No, right. Absolutely not. Paul McCartney, you look at the music before he was making it and after he was making it, and a lot of it was inspired by like rock and roll and black artists. But yes. Then he had a million phases in his albums in the space of time that in which the Beatles were actually writing. It's so much shorter than you think. And it's like their albums came out between like the 60s and 70s, and they churned out hundreds of songs. And I think it's so revealing when you ask someone what their favorite Beatles song is, because they had so many phases. Like truly, they have their early pop phase that's kind of like they've got their bowl cuts and they're on Ed Sullivan. And then they have their phase of like they go to India and they grow their hair out and they start using the sitar and they do drugs. And then they've got their Sgt. Peppers and they've got the White Album. Like they truly were, every album was a new phase.
And Paul McCartney was the frontman.
He was the writer.
He was the frontman for the biggest band in the world. Like, talk about Geminis being about communication, Geminis being about the written word, Geminis being curious, Geminis wanting to express their feelings. If anybody's expressed their feelings, it's Paul McCartney.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he would write songs in like a day that we have been covered a million times. Like, I can't even think about it. And he's not done. He's still not done.
That is a huge point. He's literally not done. I don't know how old he is because I'm not going to dare do math at this exact moment, but it's crazy that he is not done. He's constantly learning. This might be like super crazy personal, but I was just at a family reunion this past weekend and I was watching a video of my grandfather who's just passed away, like 94, and he was a doctor. And something that he was saying was that he's never done learning. And I feel that that's very... Paul McCartney is my grandfather, is what I'm trying to say. I'm just kidding. But I just think it's such a, when you hear that, I feel like my heart like skips a beat. It brings me so much beautiful joy just to think of people always creating and never like, oh, my life is over at a certain point.
Absolutely. And I think he's so open to trends. And that is very Gemini, is, you know, we talked about this earlier, finger on the pulse and like, and innovating the pulse. He did songs with Rihanna and Kanye. Most recently, he interviewed Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift interviewed him. Like, he cares about the youth. And that's super Gemini to me also.
I think he is literally the Malcolm Gladwell example for 10,000 hours, putting your 10,000 hours into something. That is literally from the Beatles. So the Beatles, what I find so fascinating.
Wait,
about
what is
them,
that? What is oh, the okay. Malcolm Gladwell thing? I don't know. What
that's,
that is.
That's, I don't know exactly what his book is called, but that's what he was like, in order to be an expert at the thing you want to be an expert at, you need to put your 10,000 hours into that. So that's what the Beatles did. I mean, I'm not an expert at this conversation at all, but the Beatles would play every single night in wherever they would play in the UK, and they would play at the same bar constantly. And they, every single night, were playing music, every single night showing up. And that's what propelled them into this fame. And once they had the fame, they were ready for the fame, because it wasn't like they just played a show once a month or something like that. And I am addicted to that dedication. I just think it is iconic. Like, it's so cool just to think about of like, yeah, now we go play a show tonight. Now we go play a show tonight. And then you become the Beatles.
Yeah. Something else I want to talk about is that I think Gemini is the twin. And so we talk about that a lot in terms of duality. But I also think that one of the goals of a Gemini is to find their twin and to find a person that they can talk to and that they create with, and that I think John that that's Lennon, huge
John
for them.
Lennon. Oh,
and that person
God.
For him was John Lennon, you know, and that what and they worked so well together. And whatever you want to say about them, they are one of the most important and iconic creative duos that we've the world has ever seen.
Yeah, so much music has been influenced since them. Like, I mean, who's not going to say they're influenced by the Beatles with beautiful, cute frontman Paul McCartney? We can't forget how cute he was. Like, he was like googly eyes. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's Paul McCartney.
Yeah, he is. He's a cutie.
He's a cutie. Oh, and I think if we called him a cutie, he'd be like, oh, thank you. He's so humble. I think he's known as a humble person.
Okay, well, I would like to take this moment to talk about the astrology, because I think Paul McCartney and I share more in our birth charts than me and any other celebrity. And I
freaking
will get
crazy.
That.
Crazy.
So, he and I share these traits. We are both Gemini suns, Virgo risings, Gemini Mercury, Taurus Venus, Mars Leo, Gemini midheaven. And so I see that and I'm like, Paul McCartney, I get you. You and I are
Courtney,
the same.
Are you trying to tell me that you are Paul McCartney, a.k.a. my grandfather?
Absolutely. A.k.a. Future changer of the world of communication.
Of the written word?
Of the written word, yeah.
A.k.a. cute pretty boy.
Are you going to be my John Lennon?
I hope so. What is John Lennon? What is his sign?
He is a Libra sun, and I want to say Aquarius moon. I know he has some Aquarius placements. I don't know his rising sign, but I know he's a Libra, which is interesting because they're both air signs, and air is the element of like intellect and communication. And I think it's cool that they share that.
Yeah. Something that makes me nervous about this, I'm like, oh my God, these people are so freaking incredible. And we're just saying like these small things about, I don't know. Like it's interesting. I don't feel thus far on our list that anybody has been too cancelable. You know, there's been some things here and there, but I'm very interested to see what comes next.
I think our next one is going to really get us into that water. But the last thing I want to say about Paul McCartney's birth chart that I do not share with him is that he is a Leo moon. And I think that that is so part of his stage presence.
Mm.
Yeah, this very warm energy and very much frontman energy and very much like smiling for the cameras and being the cutie. Like, I think that where, you know, John's kind of the one he's the dreamy, sort of aloof one. But Paul, you feel like if you met him, he'd be sweet to you. And I think that's Leo Moon.
I feel like if I met him, I would love it. I mean, who wouldn't? Oh my God, what a hot take of mine. But also, I'm so curious what, like, does he know? Like, does he go to bed and he's like, I'm Paul McCartney.
Maybe.
I created the biggest band in the world thus far to exist. I don't know, BTS fans coming at me right now.
I think that if you are that famous, at some point you just block it out. At some point you stop feeling like it stops getting to you.
Yeah.
Another thing I would like to say really quick that people may not know, his daughter is the fashion designer Stella McCartney.
I don't think I've ever once put that together.
Now you have.
He would so name his daughter Stella. That is so a Paul McCartney move.
It's fun. I like the name Stella.
I love it. I love that name. But I just am like, oh yeah. I just feel like, Paul, you're a cool guy.
I love Paul McCartney. I do. I think he's sweet.
I hope he hears this.
And now on to our more cancelable and
The top four. The top four.
Oh my God. The top four. We're going to get into it. So
there's some stuff to say.
All right, Rachel, you want to announce number four?
Number four on the top 10 Geminis list. Naomi Campbell.
Naomi Campbell, baby!
Born May 22nd, 1970. Naomi Campbell. A gorgeous gal.
Another total groundbreaker. Like,
truly groundbreaker. A true groundbreaker. She is the first Black woman to be featured in British Vogue. She did so much for racial discrimination in the modeling industry. She was very outspoken about how Black people were treated, very outspoken about how Black women had makeup applied to them and would only work with certain artists, and had so much to say about this and really laid the road and paved the way for many people. Lots of positives there.
Yeah, also the only Black supermodel of that time. I mean, supermodels were huge. And a thing that I think is really important about the Gemini spirit is community and friendship and connecting with others. And those other models stood by her through these things that she was bringing up and the things that were affecting her. There were people like Linda Evangelista who said that they would not work with people who were discriminatory against Naomi Campbell and had shitty practices in the fashion industry.
There's a lot of Gemini models. Heidi Klum, Ariana Lima, Kate Upton, Emrata, a lot of I'm learning from this list as we're doing it. Geminis are beauty. Beauty. Like, there's so much in there. As I just said, Paul McCartney is so freaking cute.
Well, I think also, I think that there is something about the model lifestyle that really appeals to a Gemini, which is, one, you're traveling all the time. I think Geminis love to travel. I think there's also something about...
As I'm in France.
As you're in France. How many times can we mention that you're in France?
Oh, I'm going to mention add that to the fact check. Every single time. That's a hard fact check. Maybe a listener can write in.
So there's that. I think there's also something about being a canvas for a lot of different people. And I think Gemini loves a transformation. How many times can we say that? Gemini loves to be a different person on every stage, every catwalk, every photo shoot. I think that that is a huge part of why these models are so successful. Like Heidi Klum is like, we mentioned her also. She has the most iconic Halloween party in the world.
And, I love Heidi Klum.
And that's all costuming. It's all, who do you want to be someone else tonight? Because I do. And Naomi Campbell is our most iconic model of all of these people.
Most iconic model. I mean, you can't, she is very even specific about what room she enters. Like, she's very specific with her time. I think she knows what she's got. She definitely knows what she's got. And I think that's where she gets herself into trouble sometimes. I am going to preference this with, like, I don't know every single detail of what she has gone through. But she has been very, very outspoken in very positive ways. She's also had gotten herself into trouble by being very outspoken. She Yes. has had 4 assault cases. She's literally banned from British Airways. She's literally, like, I don't even need to know the story there. She has 4 assault cases, and one of them has equaled that she is banned from British Airways. So it's like, oh my freaking God.
I think one is against her assistant.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Something that I think informs this is that she has a Sagittarius moon. And there we go. I think that Gemini Sun, Sagittarius moon are crazy people. I think they are the people who are most likely to speak their mind because Gemini loves to talk, and Sagittarius is a sign that, like, is so opinionated and so outspoken and so, well, why can't I just say my piece? More Gemini Sun, Sagittarius moons, just for what it's worth. Donald Trump and Scott Disick. Those are the 2 other most famous Gemini Sun, Sagittarius moons.
My mouth is agape. What?
I think that should tell you the way these people interact with the world. It's like, yeah, I said it. Who gives a fuck? That's who I am.
Oh my God. That is some ball mic drop shit right there. Like, that is, I want to see those 3 in a room together. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I don't want to be like, in that room. Maybe I would watch that YouTube video.
Oh, I feel like it'd be like ancient Roman times, like in the Colosseum, like those 3 just sitting there, Donald Trump, Scott Disick, and Naomi Campbell. Oh my God. That'd be great. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm afraid of Naomi Campbell. I would be very scared. I don't think I would approach her. Like, I'm a Gemini. I love to approach people. I think every other sign, every other person on this list, I would approach at a party after 3 drinks. I don't know if I would approach Naomi Campbell.
Can I give you an astrological reason for that?
Please.
She is a Capricorn rising, which means that she, when you see her in a room, you might be presented immediately with Capricorn energy, which is the definition of resting bitch face and the definition of just prove yourself to me. You know what
I
mean?
You're solving something. You're solving something. And
I'm solving mysteries right here.
Yeah, literally. I have this insecurity about a person in my life, and this is making sense to me. Because it's like, oh my God. Wow, Naomi Campbell has some intense astrology. Holy shit.
Yeah. She also has her Sun, Venus, and Mars in Gemini. So another supercharged Gemini that I think we're seeing as a theme with these most iconic Geminis. They're really embodying the traits of Geminis.
Wow.
Do you know about her t-shirt?
No.
Okay, so this is related to her assaults. In 2006, 8 employees of hers came forward with claims of abuse.
Oh my God.
And during this time, she made a t-shirt and wore it, and the paparazzi, like, took pictures of it that said,
"Oh yes,
Naomi hit me, and I loved it."
That is radical. Radical.
Look, we're not saying we approve of all of her behavior, but, like, come on. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, and we are saying you would probably still have a poster of her in your room.
We are saying that when she dies, that picture is going to go viral on social media. The picture of her wearing this shirt.
I kind of want it now. Like, again, I'm scared of Naomi Campbell. I'm not sure if I'm, like, the biggest fan, but, like, I kind of want that shirt. I think that's amazing.
Should we sell that shirt? Naomi hit me and I loved it.
And then we wait for her to come at us.
And get sued by her and get assaulted. And then we're like, Naomi sued me and I loved it.
My dream is to get sued by Naomi Campbell.
Wow.
Oh, Naomi Campbell, we're afraid of you. We kind of love you. I'm not really sure, but I think you should just keep doing you, girl. Always keep doing you. I can't wait to see how you continue. You were in one season of Making the Cut, the new Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn show, which of course I am watching on Amazon Prime. And then you weren't in season 2, probably because you just didn't want to do it. And I am obsessed with that. I would love to see what you're going to do next. I'm following your every move.
I hear that.
Okay.
All right.
We're in top three. Are you excited?
Top three? Ooh,
top three, baby. Oh my goodness. I'm like, how could it possibly get bigger? How could it possibly get bigger than Paul McCartney?
But here's the thing. These were the three that we didn't have to fight about.
No,
there was
we
no
never changed
discussion.
Them.
There was no discussion about these top three, which makes me wonder if people will guess these immediately. But all right. Number three, Prince.
Prince, born June 7th, 1958.
I think Gemini is the musician sign. And part of that is the creativity. It's the communication. It's the lyrics. It's the innovation.
Listen, let's be honest. We had a lot of musicians that we wanted to include. Stevie Nicks, Alanis Morissette. There was a lot of people out here that we had a list that was all musicians. You could go through top 10 Gemini musicians, not let alone actresses, like let alone comedians, like there's a lot of creative Geminis. That's the energy. That's what's out there. So, but Prince is Prince. Come on.
Prince is Prince. He's so multi-talented. People never know this, but he is one of the most talented guitar players.
Oh yeah. Ever. Oh yeah.
Like, because the thing is, when you think of Prince, you think of so much about his visuals, his fashion, the way he changed, like, his effect on androgyny and gender presentation.
Being a star, androgynous rock star, like, you know, going with that David Bowie energy, Steven Tyler energy, Mick Jagger energy. Like, he was a creator of this, of getting on stage and literally being who he was. Again, famous for portraying himself in his truest, most authentic form.
Absolutely a fashion innovator. Absolutely just progressive and so much of a showman. And so much, I mean, Purple Rain, iconic.
Iconic. Wait, I was going to say this. So what I said at the very beginning, a symbol, you know, he is now known as the artist formerly known as Prince. So he, yeah, Google it. He literally has a symbol that is this symbol. When you look at it, once you see the symbol, it's like a mix of a woman, a man, an Egyptian Ankh. But so his record label, you know, record labels have all those like freaking crazy deals. I don't know. I don't want to be a singer, record label person, but they always have crazy shit. And they wouldn't let him release music anymore. So he goes, cool, I'm going to release it under this symbol. So you can refer to me as the artist formerly known as Prince. Fucking Gemini energy.
Do you have a favorite Prince song?
Yeah, ask me again in 3 seconds.
I think mine is Raspberry Beret.
Raspberry Beret.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kiss. Obviously.
Okay.
Kiss.
We can differ on this.
Kiss,
the thing is, there's
sure.
So many bangers that it's like,
yeah,
it's hard to run through
I'm
them
like,
all right now.
Look at, oh my goodness. And then 1999, holy shit. Little Red Corvette, oh my god, I Want to Be Your Lover. What's going on? Wow.
Oh, I love I Want to Be Your Lover.
Yeah, now that, Darling Nikki, now that you're looking at this, you're like, every single one? He looks so beautiful. He also is beautiful. Very beautiful. Oh my goodness. I was just listening to Nick Miller. He's the guy in New Girl, right? The star?
That's his character's name. It's
okay, then what Jake the fuck
Johnson.
Is his name?
Jake Johnson is also a Gemini, and his character is Nick Miller.
Shout out. I was just watching his, the True Hollywood Reporter, them do the comedians roundtable with Will Forte, Bone Yang, Gerard Carmichael, Danny McBride, Michael Che, and Nick Miller, aka Jake Johnson. And Jake Johnson was telling the Prince story about him being on New Girl. And he said that when they changed the lights, like when they took a break, Prince didn't move. He just sat there. Jake Johnson and Zooey Deschanel also didn't move. They just sat there for like an hour as they reset the lights. I was telling my boyfriend this story and I was like, maybe Prince didn't know to move. And Ish was like, Ish, my boyfriend, was like, no, Prince wants to be a part of everything. He is a producer. He wanted to watch them change those lights. He sits there. He doesn't take a break. He's Prince.
Oh, wait. Okay, the other thing is that the song that they wrote for that episode is amazing. I love the song from that episode. Don't You Want to Fall in Love Tonight? Ugh, it's so good.
He just asked to be in that show, which I think, I'm just retelling the story again and again, which I think is amazing.
Wait, I didn't know that he asked. I thought they...
No, he asked. He was a fan of New Girl. And so he said, can I be in the show? And so they were like, obviously. And so they made an episode for Prince.
Oh my God.
Prince. Also, Prince is something that I find really cool about Geminis, constantly trying to connect, constantly trying to expand their outreach. He literally discovered Lizzo and Janelle Monáe. Second time Janelle Monáe has been brought up. But he discovered them as artists and worked
that's
with them.
That's news to me.
That's, and fostered that's them. To me. Wow. Lizzo's talked about this. I've definitely heard her talk about this on like interviews and stuff like that. But yeah, like Prince heard her and they worked together and he was like, you're going to be Lizzo. I'm definitely condensing that story, but that's what happened.
Whoa. That's interesting to me that he is associated with Janelle Monáe because I think her early career is also so defined by experimenting with gender in fashion. You know, she was all about wearing tuxes on the red carpet and... Especially in her days of like Tightrope and, you know, all of those early songs.
You know what drives me crazy about these people is they are so talented. Like you can bring up Janelle Monáe, you can bring up Prince, you can bring up Lizzo, and they're none of those singers or whatever that you're going to be like, yeah, but they're just kind of famous for whatever reason. Like, no, they're famous because they are fucking great musicians, which is mind-blowing that you can be that. And then also have this work ethic and care to push it forward.
Totally. I watched a video recently of Prince accepting an award, I think early 2000s, from Yahoo. I don't even know what these awards were. So
what is Yahoo giving out awards for?
I don't know, but it was Yahoo was somehow related to it. And he picks up the award and he says so coolly, he's like, I'm just going to say one thing. The internet is cool. The internet is cool, but you gotta go on the internet. You don't let the internet use you. You use the internet. You don't let the internet use you. And he totally predicted so far in advance the way we all, I mean, definitely I have been so shaped by the internet. And he
Talk
very early
futurism.
On was like, no, you gotta shape the internet. You gotta shape your presence on the internet. Don't
wow.
let it. Don't let the internet shape who you become.
Can this be like wholesome merch? That is the most wholesome thing that I love. I want that to be wholesome merch.
I mean, yeah. Well, I'll find the video. I'll send it to you. I'll post it on our Uncut Geminis podcast. Uncut Geminis pod on Instagram.com.
Please, on Instagram.com. Speaking of the internet is cool. Don't let it rule you. Wait, let's talk about his astrology.
So his astrology is another one that I care about because we are both Pisces moons. He is a Scorpio rising. Which I think totally checks out with his kind of steely glare. You know, he's sort of got this sexy energy that is not as always as present with Geminis because we're so scattered and nervous. I think he's got more of that watery kind of chill to him that is, so cool. He's got such a cool factor. And I think that's because he's got some watery placements. So he has that, and he's got his Pisces moon, this very creative and emotional kind of side to him.
Yeah. Just like you.
Just like me, you know, I'm just, you know, all of these compliments apply to me too.
Yeah.
Also like me and Paul McCartney, he is, and like a lot of Geminis, he is a Sun and Mercury in Gemini, Taurus, Venus, and then he has, unlike me and Paul McCartney, an Aries Mars, which I think Aries is also so interesting. So sharp, so fun, such a charismatic energy. Like, he's just full of charisma. You know, you just can't take your eyes off of him.
Can I give you a hot take, Courtney?
Go for it.
But it's about you.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I feel like you're afraid to say something bad about Aries. Will they come for you? I don't know enough. Are they gonna like come into your house or something when you're sleeping?
No, the sign I'm like afraid of talking shit about is Cancer. But
do you just admire them maybe a lot?
I think that I really, really admire fire signs because I think that they have this courage and confidence that I don't have. And I'm really missing a lot of fire in my chart. And so it's like, with air signs, I'm like, yeah, I get you. We have the same strength, so I can't really praise you that much because I feel like I get why you are the way you are. And with earth signs, I'm like, okay, boring. and it's not even, and that's not even true. The thing is, like, I love my earth sign friends. I love the earth signs in my life, but I just, my dad's a Virgo sun, Virgo moon. Sorry, Dad, he's listening. My dad, but, but I think fire is so unique. Fire signs are, they're so interesting. Like, when I think of fire signs, it's like, we're talking Lady Gaga, Mariah Carey, Lil Nas X, these people who are just absolutely alive, you know? Yeah. Alive, alive, alive. And I actually think that Aries gets a ton of shit on the internet for being impulsive and angry. This, like, kind of angry baby stereotype that I think is so not the full picture. And that is irritating to me because I think that Aries is more like a Hercules complex. Like, I think that they think of themselves as like the leader and the savior of the world. And the thing is, they're not always wrong. Like, I think that Aries is really likely to stand up for you.
Little Nas X is my savior.
Absolutely, he is. Absolutely, he is. And he's so fucking funny. Aries never get enough credit for how fucking funny they are.
Okay, so I think I just gave you some therapy. That was just my observation. And I think we look deeply into what you're really feeling. I'm glad you really took that well. I was nervous.
No, you're fine. You're fine. But so Prince has his Mars in Aries, and Mars is the planet of your energy, your sexual energy, your aggression. And so it's like, that's the energy he brings into a room is this like fiery kind of, I think of it as like, it's like a light in your eyes, you know?
Well, that's excitement. Why he wanted to be on New Girl, because he's so funny.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. We nailed it down.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Prince is known for being like a comedian. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
He's known for his acting career, explicitly on his New Girl guest star.
Again, I don't feel that I'm giving Prince enough credit, but we have literally talked the most about him out of anybody. So yes, Prince, top three number Gemini icon. Prince. We love you. R.I.P.
Now on to number two. You know this is one of the most iconic you know it. If you know she hasn't come up yet because she was gonna be high on the list. Marilyn fucking Monroe. Born as Norma Jean Mortensen, said no, fuck that name. I deserve a better name. I'm gonna be Marilyn Monroe. On June 1st, 1926.
1926. Isn't that crazy? I don't know. Something about that just feels, I feel like Marilyn Monroe has been in my blood since I've existed on this planet. You know what I mean? Like, I've known who Marilyn Monroe is. There's no life without knowing who Marilyn Monroe is. And we're seeing that even now as she's becoming very, very relevant, literally the past 2 months in pop culture, huge. But Marilyn Monroe, if you somehow were born literally today and do not know, American actress, singer, model, blonde bombshell, literally created the blonde bombshell, was married many, many times. And she is this icon for being herself,
I think that she is the ultimate sex symbol. I cannot think of a single person who is more of an iconic sex symbol than Marilyn Monroe. And the fact that she died in 1962 and no one has trumped that is insane.
I think some people are trying. We just got to say it. Let's talk about the Kim Kardashian of it all. I mean, we just got to throw it out there. I think it has been said by some people who have been married to Kim Kardashian, you know who you are, that you want her to be the next Marilyn, that you think she's the next Marilyn. And I think there are a lot of similarities, and we can see how she does portray this, but you're not replacing Marilyn Monroe. There's no replacing there. And I think similar coming off of Prince, something that is very interesting, similar to Kim Kardashian, similar to Prince, she had a significant creation in her public image. She was like a producer. She wasn't stupid. She was saying, this is how America is going to see me. I'm going to wear this sexy dress. I'm going to be in this movie, even if I'm not the best actress in the world, you know, whatever. I'm going to let the public know who I am by any means possible in the way that I want them to.
I think you really nailed something here, which is that she dyed her hair. She married this guy when she was 16, basically to get a ride to LA and then divorced him immediately.
She, you mean Joe DiMaggio?
No, I mean her first husband, who no one gives a shit about. I didn't even didn't even write his name down for this notes.
Write his name down. Okay,
because who gives a fuck about him? He was just like some random dude, and she was just like, "Yeah, I'm gonna move to LA with this guy," and she like almost immediately divorced him. Do you know how fucking insane it was to get divorced at that time?
I know. I mean, I feel like that is the conversation about Marilyn Monroe, which makes her a trendsetter, which makes her an aware, smart, creative, outgoing person. Makes her number two on this list because she said, look, I know I'm doing things for the first time and I am letting people see me as I am. And you know what? Her getting divorced, her being sexy, her wearing that dress and singing happy birthday, whatever. If there were negative connotations, I bet there were a lot of women who said, I want to get divorced and I didn't know that was a thing. And now I can, you know, or there are these trends in pop culture that create trends in society, which is what I find so exciting about it.
Totally. And I think that's something that honestly separates her from other attempted sex symbols and bombshells is how multifaceted she is. And I think we can honestly even see it through her four marriages, is that she changes. She changes. She was married to Arthur Miller.
Wait, we got to pause on this. She was married to Arthur Miller. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to talk about this. As a play nerd myself, I love plays. I love Arthur Miller. What the fuck?
Wow. And he would not marry someone stupid. I think she is smart. She's an Aquarius moon. There's no way in hell she's not smart. I think she very much played into this bombshell role as like, because she knew it was marketable and because she knew that that's what people wanted to see from her. But I think she had a totally interior life that was really different.
And probably led her to, you know, some tough stuff, not to, you know, this hard shit, like probably led her to a lot of addiction, probably led her to this hard life that was very inner that people around her couldn't see.
Yeah. She also was married to Joe DiMaggio, the baseball player. Icon shit, you know, just icon shit. She had an affair with John F. Kennedy when he was in the fucking White House. Like, iconic. Iconic. Happy birthday, Mr. President. And I would like to say, JFK, also a Gemini. Jackie O is a Leo. Sorry, Jackie O.
What do you think it's like to be Marilyn's friend? Like, do you think she was the friend who was taking up too much attention, directing the conversation back to herself, or was she more secretive and more observant than that? Do you think she was like the one getting too drunk, or do you think she was just playing her cards right because she knew she had a long night ahead?
Well, I will say she was another Leo rising that we have on this list, which makes me think that she was a pure entertainer. I think she was born to entertain. I think that when I think about her, I don't think about her in terms of one-on-one relationships. I think of her in a room, just lighting up a room.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, though, because, I mean, we can never really know.
Right. Do you think, I mean, going back just a little bit to this, her putting herself out there in a way that she wanted to craft, like this iconic image of her, you know, with the white dress, standing over the subway grate. I just think about photographs. Like, you couldn't post an Instagram story. It was just, take this photograph of me and put it everywhere.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me.
I think it also, it just speaks to how important she is to American culture, is the fact that pre-Instagram, you know, our obsession with photography, we were obsessed with her. We were obsessed with her image. We were buying these posters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if she is like the most, I wonder if it's like her or maybe like Audrey Hepburn, Breakfast at Tiffany's. Like, what is the most sold poster of all time? Because I wouldn't be surprised if it was her in the 7-year itch, that picture of her on the subway grate.
Yeah. I mean, again, I feel like it was in my blood since the day I was planted on this planet. Don't you?
Totally. Absolutely.
I want to ask a 5-year-old if they know who Marilyn Monroe is. If you have a 5-year-old, ask them and let me know what they say.
So the astrology of it. She is a Sun and Mercury in Gemini. She has an Aquarius moon, which I think is part of why I think that she must have had a really different interior life and why I do think that she is really smart. Aquarius is a sign of intellect. It's the genius sign. People talk about it as the genius sign is Aquarius. And then she was a Leo rising, you know, total charmer, totally like just hair flip, lighting up a room. And as we know from Laverne Cox and from the Olsen twins, Leo rising puts your midheaven of the career house in Taurus. Beauty as a career.
I am shocked how many overlaps there are. There are a lot of overlaps on this list. Like, I don't know, you probably wouldn't think that Marilyn Monroe and Andy Cohen are the exact same person, or Marilyn Monroe and Laverne Cox, but I'm seeing some, I guess that's why we're doing this top 10 list, because we're trying to figure out what they all have in common, what makes them who they are. And I guess we're just a little bit biased because we're Geminis and we're starting in Gemini season. So I don't know. I hope I'm feeling this way when we get to Aquarius season. We'll see.
I think something I'm picking up on a lot here is Leo placements, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of Leo risings and a lot of Leo moons, and that is huge. Leo is the sign of fame. You know, there are more Leo celebrities than anyone. I can't imagine how hard it's going to be for us to do this for Leo season.
Oh,
it's going to be impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. Wish us luck. Truly. We have the hardest job in the world.
We definitely have the hardest job in the world.
Yeah. I guess it's just making, I know I've said this before, but I think some things, why I like celebrating these signs so much and why I feel so excited about everybody is because I think sometimes you can see traits in yourself as negatives, or we can make memes about them, or we can make stereotypes about certain signs. I mean, I'm sure you've seen this forever. And so I think it's really exciting to talk about these people and ways that we admire, even though the things that they've done wrong sometimes, and highlight what's so beautiful about them. And I'm actually so excited to do that for every sign.
Totally. I think that is going to be really relevant in our next one, which if you haven't heard him yet, you know he's number one.
You know he's number one?
You might have seen the title of this episode and thought, I know who's number one, because this is a fucking icon.
This is, I mean, we've said the word icon and we've said every name thus far, and I truly still believe this is the number one Gemini.
100%.
The number one Gemini on the top 10 Gemini list is
Kanye fucking West.
Kanye West. Yeezy. Born Kanye Omari West. June 8th, 1977. Kanye West. You know it. You know he's the number one Gemini. You've seen the Instagrams. You've seen the career trajectory. Can you believe we've only as a society had 20 years of Kanye? 20 years. Like that's when his, you know, when everything first came out. Like when he started being Kanye. I feel like I've had 6,000 years of Kanye, for better or for worse.
He has more Grammys than years active. 24 Grammys, 22 years of Kanye.
It's crazy.
Christ.
Okay, Kanye, a rapper, an architect.
Okay, quick note about rapping. Gemini is the ultimate rapper sign. And I think it's because Gemini is the wordsmith of the Zodiac. I mean, Virgo, Libra, Aquarius, they can give you a run for your money. They got some really iconic rappers, but Gemini, more than any other sign. I'm going to just give you a quick list.
Okay, we're going to give you a shout out, but they didn't make the list.
They didn't make the list.
Know how you feel about that, but we got a lot of rappers.
I need to show you how many important rappers are Geminis. Kendrick Lamar, Lauryn Hill, Notorious B.I.G., Tupac, both sides of the East-West, like, fight. Ice Cube, Azalea Banks, Cupcake, Princess Nokia. There are so fucking many. Sage the Gemini. There's so fucking many Gemini rappers. None as important as Kanye West.
The difference
is that Kanye is so much more than a rapper. He is so many things. He's been so many things, and he's only going to be more things.
We're going to have 6,000 more years of Kanye. So to start, I mean, go watch the Kanye doc, but there's a lot that Kanye created. He started rapping about emo stuff. about emo shit. He started rapping about this 22 years ago in ways that other rappers weren't at the time. It was a lot of gangster rap, right? I mean, I know I'm a fucking white woman talking about this, but whatever. Like, Kanye created emo rap, which is why we have Drake. We don't just have Drake because of Degrassi. We have Drake because of Kanye.
And before he even started rapping, he was a producer. And it's because mm-hmm. he has this encyclopedic knowledge of music. And he has this incredible knowledge base for sampling. Like, I think he really brought sampling. I mean, sampling's been around. But he really, with the addition of auto-tune and all of these, like, real, real musical trends that he brought to the forefront of popular music, like, he is such an innovator.
Yeah.
And that started with him being a producer and then turning into a rapper. And you are right. I think that we don't have Drake without Kanye.
There's a lot of people we don't have without Kanye. And I think it became tough in these past couple years, probably since 2016, when Kanye went crazy, that's the way to say it, was, I don't know, was very outspoken and struggling. Yeah. I mean, in ways that could be very cancelable. I mean, I, of course, know he has a lot of mental health issues. I am a huge Kanye fan. I really admire Kanye. But I think there's a lot of rappers who had this tough situation because they respected him so much for such a long time. And then when he turned and started, you know, having insane political interest and was posting them all the time, was posting inappropriate things, was being crazy on his family, was being a really tough person. Like, Kid Cudi won't talk to Kanye anymore. He's literally said that. He's literally said, I will never associate myself with Kanye, which is wild.
Wild. And yet, here's the thing. We kind of tried to say this as our disclaimer when we opened this podcast. All of this, people will, I think, 100% forget this, sweep it under the rug the second he dies. There will be murals all over Los Angeles. We're not going to... T-shirts. And, like, it's insane. I think it's kind of annoying, honestly, the way people pretend that they aren't fucking obsessed with Kanye right now.
Right, right.
It's like, right. Honestly, it's a little annoying. I'm like, shut up. You fucking love Kanye. Right. We all love Kanye.
Put on 808s. Put on Can't Tell Me Nothing. Put on Jesus Walks right now and tell me the whole club isn't dancing.
No, we are. Because we love him. I mean, I think I love Kanye in a way that is so unique to, like, you know, we have parasocial relationships with celebrities all the time, mm-hmm. but with Kanye, I'm like, I'm rooting for him. I want him to get better. I want him to...
Me too.
To get back to that place that he was at with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Speaking of posters, I had the album artwork in every dorm and apartment I lived in for years. I would just move it and display it in a new way every single time. One of my favorite TikTokers, Kardashian Colloquium, she writes a lot of articles for Vogue about the Kardashians, and she has a really cool insight. And she compares him and Kim Kardashian's relationship to Elizabeth Taylor and I believe Marlon Brando. And is
Richard Burton, probably.
Oh, shit. Richard Burton. LOL.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Well, I don't know. I don't know because I haven't read it.
But I might be
Richard
crazy.
Burton is the one that she married twice.
Yes. She compares it to that. And she's like, I've always believed that Kim and Kanye will get married again. And they have this really interesting relationship with celebrity and all of that stuff. But what I was going to say about being obsessed with Kanye. So when I was a freshman in college, I went to Kanye's concert after being in the hospital for 2 days. So I was in the hospital by my own doing. It was completely my own fault. I got a UTI and I didn't know what a UTI was because I was 18 and I had never had a UTI before. And I let it sit for 2 months.
Oh my God. How are you not in pain?
I was in so much pain, Courtney. I was in so much pain. And I didn't know what to do because I didn't know what it was. And my stomach was just hurting. And my acting teacher just said, hold your stomach and make sounds. That'll fix it. I was like crying. I did not know what to do. And finally, I get my RA in my dorm to take me to the hospital. And then I just had a fucking UTI. And they gave me medicine. And they were like, yeah, you should have like done something about this a long time ago. But here's the thing. I had floor tickets to the Yeezus tour like the next day. And I didn't go to class that day. But obviously I went to the Kanye concert. I wasn't going to not go. I paid for these tickets. I was so excited. UTI or not. I mean, I'm fine now. It's fine.
Like, I'm not going to die. But I'll die if I don't get a fucking Kanye concert.
Yeah, I'm not gonna die.
Oh my god, I've never been to a Kanye concert.
Oh, it's good. I mean, again, talk about a showman, a man who knows how to put on a show, because I think he cares so much about every single piece of it. I think every single person that we've listed on this list thus far has those similar interests, has those similar producing skills. He cares about the fashion. He cares about the lights. He had a floating stage. You know what I mean? And he is a person in very many interests.
I would also like to say, I'm a Swiftie. I am a huge Taylor Swift fan. And it says something about the mm-hmm. fact that they have had this longstanding beef for like, more than 10 years at this point, that I don't give a shit. Because I just love them both. I think they're both amazing. And I don't even care. Because I think that something that is so amazing about Kanye is the fact that he speaks his mind. And yeah. he always stands up for what he believes in. Even when it's fucking stupid. Like championing Donald Trump. Or saying that, like, I don't know. Because the thing is, a lot of the time, he's also right. When he was doing Hurricane Katrina relief, with Mike Myers, another Gemini.
The famous quote. You gotta say it.
He said on live TV, George Bush doesn't care about black people. And he was fucking right. And it's like, he's the person who's willing to say that. And that's amazing. He's also just fucking funny. Like, I think he's so funny. His wordplay and his rhymes, but also like his
Northwest,
Twitter.
Northwest, an iconic Gemini.
Oh my god, North, yeah, his daughter also.
An iconic.
She's gonna be just like him. I love her TikToks.
I love her TikToks. I love that he got mad at her for being on TikTok and he was like, you know how I can solve this? Post about it on Instagram and then my daughter will get off TikTok. And we were all like, bro, it's like when you see people arguing in public, you're like, stop doing that. And that's how I feel about all of Kanye's life.
Yes, but he doesn't care because he's like, I know you're interested. And I don't even care because you're still going to be interested no matter what I do. And he's right. He's right.
Again, as I've said many, many times on this list, a person famous for being true to themselves. I think that's the biggest theme that I've come out of this with, of just being so true and just really taking the time to think about it. I think that's where Kanye gets me is I do believe he has thought about these things. I don't believe he's just, I don't know, maybe sometimes he's saying shit off the cuff, but like, I think he's thinking about stuff. Maybe too much.
I think yes and no. I think it depends on the medium. Like, I think with social media, he could be pretty impulsive. I think, because something that I love is he used to be so good on Twitter, and I think he had to stop because people were like, hey, you gotta stop. But, like, one of the most iconic things that has ever happened on social media is his tweet. And I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
I hate when I'm on a flight and I wake up with a water bottle next to me. Like, oh, great. Now I got to be responsible for this water bottle. Like, that shit's so funny.
It's so true.
It's so funny. And it's also like, oh, God, it's so Kanye to be like, yeah, I'm always on flights. You know what I mean? I don't care if this isn't relatable to you people who are never going to go to Paris. Yes, I'm shouting out Paris again.
We gotta say it in everyone. You think Kanye's trying to be relatable? I think he literally sees himself as a god. He literally says, I am a god. Multiple times. All the time. He's like, yeah, my opinion Jesus. Is the best opinion. Jesus. Like, he has named himself as a god. I can't believe we haven't even talked about all of his other shit. Like, his fashion design. I like his fashion design. I wear, you know, I like the Adidas collabs. I don't know. I'm so curious how, like, people who run industries interact with him. I don't know. Who's the head of Adidas? How does the head of Adidas talk to Kanye? What is their meeting like? I got questions.
I think they simp so hard. I think they're like, oh my God, Kanye. Hi, yeah. Welcome. Can we get you a Perrier? No, you don't want a water bottle? Okay, no, that's totally chill.
Because you don't want to be responsible for it. You don't want to be responsible for the water bottle. That's okay. We'll hold on to it for you. We saw your
sheet. Just like have a PA follow you around and like carry this water bottle for you if that's what you want. Like,
yeah.
Another thing. It's funny that his current iteration is being Christian. His current phase of life is I'm a Christian now. I mean, he's always been very Christian, but especially since, honestly, the death of his mother has clearly
been affected. I was going to say, he loves his mother, yes.
He's such a mama's boy, and I will say he's a Cancer rising. Cancer, the sign of the mother, shouts to Ewan-ish, shouts to Angelina Jolie. I think that Cancer rising is like, it's so associated with parenting and, I don't know, love of the mother. He has named so much shit Donda. Donda is his mother's name.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, he's, like, it clearly really, really impacted him when his mother died.
Of course. I mean, I think there's a lot of interesting things. I don't know. I'm being convinced by this conversation that he maybe is a god. There's a lot of interesting things, like very like Zeus-like and biblical-like that have happened to him in his life, like going through the car crash that he went through the wire, him literally-
Wait, what's the car wire?
Car crash. You know, his face is fake.
What?
Watch the Kanye documentary. Okay, like, so, you know, through the wire, he got into a car crash when he was leaving the studio. Like, I mean, I could be butchering this. I'm sorry, everybody. But when he was leaving recording or something, like, he, in the middle of the night, hit a telephone pole and, like, got into a crazy car crash. And then he wrote the next album. And so, it's what Through the Wire is on, the teddy bear, the name is not coming to me, but, and he wrote the album and literally his whole jaw was replaced. So his teeth are fake, his jaw, that's why his jaw looks different. Like, you can Google old photos of Kanye, and he rapped through the wire of his jaw being wired shut.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that's how he made that album. And talked about what he went through. And I don't think he was drunk. That was always my question. Like, oh no, was it something like crazy? Like, he caused this on himself? He just got in a bad car wreck and almost died. He literally would have been dead and wasn't dead. And then I think he sees himself as a god, truly, because these magical things have kind of happened to him in his life.
I don't know how you couldn't with all these accomplishments. One of my favorite Kanye songs of all time is I Love Kanye. I miss the old Kanye. And he's just talking
the
about
always
how much
rude Kanye. The bad mood Kanye.
It's like I think he is also self-critical. I think he also, and I mean,
is aware. I think he's somewhat aware. I think at times he's aware. Yeah.
And I don't know. But at the same time, it's like, you know what he could be aware of too, is the fact that he's changed history. And I'm not gonna regret saying that. I think Kanye has changed history.
I think so too. I mean, literally listen to my beautiful dark twisted fantasy and then talk to me. That gave us that Nicki Minaj verse that...
Oh my god. Monster.
Mm. I want it to be on my gravestone.
You don't know how many... Oh my god. The amount of times that we would rap that when I was in high school.
Yeah. Mm. Oh my god. This is what I pitch. So once I went to this dance party that was Kanye versus Drake. Like, they play a Kanye song, they play a Drake song, which was the funnest dance party ever. It was one
Sounds
of the
incredible.
Early... It was so fun. It was one of the first dates Ish took me on. That's why I was like, oh, this guy's kind of cool. And so I think there should be a Kanye versus Taylor Swift dance party.
Whoa.
I think a bar should host that. You play a Kanye song, then you play a Taylor Swift song, and you see who shows up to that party.
I mean, me. Fucking me.
I think it'd be really fun.
Okay, something that I want to mention in regard to his Gemini-ness is that Gemini search for your twin, your partner, that completion of a partner. I think Jay-Z was that for him for a long time.
Oh, I was like, I'm so curious what you're going to say.
I think Jay-Z was that for him for a long time, and now I think Jay-Z also won't speak to him.
I know. It's so crazy. Oh my gosh.
But my
I
main,
loved Watch the Throne.
I know. Watch the Throne is great. That song with Frank Ocean that was in The Great Gatsby, it's so good. Okay, one of my fun facts about his search for partnership... Both Kim Kardashian and Amber Rose have the same fucking birthday. The exact same birthday.
Makes it easy for Kanye. Makes it easy.
It makes it easy.
Did we talk about his chart enough? I feel like we've just been... I don't even feel like we got...
He is a Cancer rising. He is a Pisces moon. Like me, in case you forgot. In case you haven't thought about that enough since Prince. And he actually... Something that I did want to mention... That is very unique to his chart in comparison to all of these others that we've talked about, is that he has a stellium, which, you know, if you remember, is many planets in the same chart. So he has Mercury, Venus, and Mars, and Lilith in Taurus. So that means that he's got a ton of Taurus energy, and Taurus, as we have discussed, sign of beauty, sign of materialism, sign of, like, very much a sign of money, sign of luxury. And I think that totally plays into his love of architecture and fashion and visuals and being really, like, honestly controlling over what things look like and wanting things to be beautiful. The fact that he was so I mean, he revolutionized what the Kardashians look like, you know?
Yeah.
He dictated their look for years. Yeah. I think that he is so about his fashion, and we can attribute that, I think, in many ways to his Taurus placements.
Kanye West, the number one Gemini.
Number one Gemini.
Of all time.
With that said, though, none of this overshadows his Gemini sun. I think he is the most Gemini to ever Gemini. That's what we've concluded.
I feel good about this. I feel good. I think Kanye would feel good.
I think Kanye would feel great. I mean, we fucking love Kanye in this house. And I don't, and you know, say what you will about him. He has done a lot of things that we don't approve of. But he's done so much more for the world than he has contributed negative. You know, when you think about the net positive, net negative, he's so positive. He's such a positive for the world.
Yeah. Kanye. Oh my God.
We love Kanye.
We did it. We fucking did it. I feel like I learned so much. I just feel like I learned, okay, Geminis are sexy. Geminis are communicative. Geminis are beautiful. Geminis are transformative, and a lot of Geminis are groundbreaking.
I think the thing that we really pick up, especially with these people, phases on phases on phases. You know, like every one of these people, you can track that their career is never one thing. Their career is so changeable.
And I think that's like a learning thing for everybody of, yeah, I'm this person this day, this person next day. I'm having some Angelina Jolie. I'm having some Josephine Baker energy. And one day Janelle Monáe is going to play me in a movie.
Yep.
Wow. That was it.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you loved our Geminis. And if you have someone that you are furious that we forgot, I'm willing to bet it's going to be Stevie Nicks. Let us know. Slide into our DMs, comment on our posts. We would love to hear it.
We're Gemini, so we love communication. So talk to us more. This has been so much fun, Courtney. We did it.
This has been so much fun. And in case you forgot, Rachel's in Paris.
I'm in Paris. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
So here's where they went wrong. By the way, this is Ezra, and today's fact check is a little long, so let's get into it. Mary-Kate and Ashley were cast as Michelle Tanner on Full House at 6 months old. The Mary-Kate and Ashley movie set in Paris is called Passport to Paris. Mary-Kate Olsen was married to Olivier Sarkozy from 2015 to 2021. His half-brother is Nicolas Sarkozy, the former president of France, not Prime Minister Courtney. Holiday in the Sun takes place in the Bahamas, not Australia. Our Lips Are Sealed is the Australian one. Angelina Jolie has had 21 tattoos, and not one of them is a chain. She also actually has 6 children, not 7, 3 of which were adopted. Angelina Jolie is also not a UNICEF ambassador. She works with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. Paul McCartney is turning 80 this year on June 18th. The book in which Malcolm Gladwell asserts his 10,000 hours theory is called Outliers. Also, Rachel had a couple mispronunciations. It's Adriana Lima, not Ariana Lima, and Lil Nas X, not Little Nas X. The symbol used for the artist, formerly known as Prince, is officially called the love symbol. Prince did not discover Lizzo or Janelle Monáe, but he did mentor them both at different moments in their careers. Also, it was at Yahoo's Online Music Awards in 1999 that Prince said, "Don't be fooled by the internet. Use the computer. Don't let the computer use you." Marilyn Monroe was married 3 times, not 4 times. And her first husband that no one cares about was James Doherty. Kardashian Colloquium on TikTok draws comparisons between Kim and Kanye as a couple to Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, not Marlon Brando. Kanye didn't necessarily create emo rap, but he is one of the early defining artists of the genre, starting around the turn of the century. That said, we don't have Drake without Kanye. Kanye's car crash was actually with another car, not a telephone pole. Also, the album Rachel refers to as the Teddy Bear album is a college dropout. Additionally, Kim Kardashian and Amber Rose were both born on October 21st, but they were actually born 3 years apart. Lastly, Rachel and Courtney mentioned Paris 8 times in this episode, and yes, Rachel is in fact in Paris.